No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it, hour two of Old School, 402-464-5685. If you want to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. We're with you for another hour, ahead of the teammates timeout with Demo and Ash. It'll be just that dynamic duo coming up from 5 to 6, so stay tuned for that. Speaking of dynamic duos, or potentially dynamic duos, heard from both coordinators for Nebraska today. Heard from Dana Holgorsen and heard from John Butler. We'll get to them, their comments here in just a second. But first, I need to let you know Old School sponsored by The Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. You can check out their selections online at themercadobutcher.com or at any four of their local locations. Those are 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, and 85th and Old Cheney in Lincoln, as well as 168th and Maple Streets up in Omaha. You can get to The Mercado today for the best meats in town. All right, let's hear from Dana Holgorsen. First, a couple interesting answers from the offensive coordinator. Let's start with his assessment of his quarterback, Dylan Raiola. What did he make of QB1's performance in week one against Cincinnati? Here is offensive coordinator Dana Holgorsen.
Yeah, that was a mental error on Dylan, the 4th and 2, you know, in the strike zone. Okay, that's 4-down territory. That's a go for it. Although, and I'll make that decision. Coach Rule makes that decision. Down there on the goal line, you know, we ran that play. And it's a bang, bang, got to make a decision thing. You know, in third and four, he handed it, and we had the look and just called the same thing with conviction, man, and just said, just execute it, you know. And I told him to ride it just a little bit longer, so that gave him just a hair longer, but Dane popped, and it was obviously pretty good for our football team that we punched that thing in.
The first 4th and 2 that he was talking about was the one near midfield. Said it was there. Dylan just made the wrong decision, wishes he had that one back. And then I thought it was interesting hearing Dana Holgorsen there at the end talk about just how quick Dylan Raiola has to make a decision in that moment. And yet Dana Holgorsen's advice is don't rush it. Be slow, be smooth, be steady, be patient. Hold the ball there just a beat longer. Let the defense commit. And then the play should open up for you. Jay, let's welcome you in. Jump right off on that. Dana Holgorsen telling Dylan Raiola on the 4th down conversion that went for a touchdown, hold it at that mesh point for just a half second longer. What does that do for a quarterback, and where is he looking when he's holding the ball out there for his running back?
Well, I think you're reading, obviously, it's kind of a little bit of an RPO, and you're going to read the defensive end, but then also you're reading essentially, you know, the coverage, and that's whoever they deem is the guy that they're reading, right? And so you're just playing off his leverage. Mm-hmm. So if I'm playing outside leverage, you're going to look for an inside route, and I'm sure
the end breaking slant that, right, Key ran.
So you got to be like lock and step with Key, and that's what you practice. Okay, if he's inside leverage, we got to get out. We got to get to an outside route like that. So it's a print. We used to call that. It's a modern day version of an option route. We used to call it a NIF or fin route. So the way that you used to get to this, you know, I guess I'll get to my point is the things that they're doing now are just a different dressed up version of what I used to face. Mm-hmm. So you would run play action, aka RPO, direct to you, onside backer, nickel or whatever. And then here comes Wayne Cabret, and he would be optioning route off of me or Julian Edelman or whatever. Now, it's a little bit longer developing, but you would run essentially, we used to call it snake motion. So you have an on-point guy, then he's running essentially full speed at me and reading my leverage and then bouncing off of me or faking bounce off of it and cross his face, touchdown. Mm.
What can you do?
Damn Dallas Clark. The same thing that happens. I mean, so you're just
you can jam him at the line, be more physical.
You can what Dana and everybody's talking about is that if you can hold it for it's literally a millisecond, like a half a sec, not even half
a blink.
A blink. And you get any hesitation, he's wider open in an easier throw, an easier read. And you make him commit. You're just trying to get them to overcommit because things happen so fast down there.
And he is one little step.
He is right. You know, it's from a defensive standpoint. You don't want to be jumpy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to be overzealous. You want to play, like I always say in basketball, you play fast, not in a hurry. So if I overextend myself on a route or in a jam, it's easy pitch and catch.
It's over.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if I know I got to play inside leverage, I know down in the red zone, you're not going to get a whole bunch of fakes. You got to go, and then you got to play through the offensive player. I have a better chance of interception, pass breakup, so forth. But if I essentially tell you what I'm doing, his read is easy, and the pass is easier. And the catch is, obviously, you probably end up on Sports Center. Mm-hmm.
Big emphasis on explosive plays. Heard about that last year. Dana Holgorsen, he addressed it again earlier today. Here's the Husker OC.
He did what we asked him to do. I didn't want to start forcing things downfield into eight people covering, right? So that was the game plan, okay? And so it's a combination of what the game plan was, but it's also a combination of, like I said, downfield blocks, springing people. You know, we had the ball three times in the open field and fell down. I saw people falling down out there today. So staying on your feet, being athletic, making people miss. I mean, it's an emphasis of where I'm at right now because we have to become more explosive. And right now we're just not.
I like that from Dana Holgorsen. I think the one that comes to mind for me, maybe gets a slight excuse given how really the first play of the game went for him. DeCorey Barney gets folded in half on that first tackle, but then Jay gets like slapped on the thigh pad and goes down.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Ja'Cory's now the biggest guy, but no matter if that's a linebacker or a defensive back, you got to be able to take a hit on the thigh pad, stay up, and keep going.
If I hit him, he's going down.
Well, of course. No, but you're
no,
form,
just, so. No, I'm just saying. I mean, it is, you know, breaking tackles, running after catches, yards after catch or whatever, yards after catch, run after contact, you know, however you want to do it, is huge. Got to make people miss. You got to break tackles, and then you need downfield blocking.
Dana Holgorsen on Nyzaiah Hunter and Dane Key, the two transfer wide receivers. Of course, Dana Holgorsen known for coaching wide receivers in his past. Here's Dana Holgorsen on the contribution from those two guys.
Yeah, I was pleased with those guys, other than the lack of explosive plays, you know, and so we're just going to keep talking about it until we get it, you know. But, you know, I thought those guys played, you know, they did what I knew they were capable of doing. There's always more. There's always more. I want six catches turns to eight catches, you know, 60 yards turns to 100 yards. You know, from an efficiency standpoint, I just, you know, we were 11 of 20 on critical downs. I mean, that's 55%. Our goal is 50. You know, we got down the red zone and we punched it in twice in man-to-man situations, which we didn't do that last year. And so those guys would have the ability to win one-on-ones. Very, very pleased with that. Both of them made great plays in the end zone. you know, the one time that we had to kick the field goal down there, it's unacceptable to every level known to anybody that's watching it. You can't jump offside. That's been addressed. Okay. But even if it's first and 5.5, you got 3 plays to be able to punch that thing in. And all I talk about is finishing drives with touchdowns. I don't ever want to kick a field goal. You know, that goal is at about 70%. We were 66, so happy with the 2, but wasn't happy with the 1. It's just lack of execution, 3 plays in a row. Lack of execution, 3 plays in a row. Had to kick the field goal.
A couple good things there, I think, from Dana Holgorsen, Jay. I mean, number one, it sounds like an offensive coordinator with an edge. Oh, yeah, it's okay. We'll get him next week. No.
Oh, no.
You got to be better. That is Dana Holgorsen with an edge. I mean, happy with the 2, disappointed in the 1. Lack of execution, that can't happen, you know, at every level. Known to anybody at football with a false start on the 1. And put that in conjunction with the same quote about Dylan did what we asked him to. I think Dana Holgorsen is ready and hoping the teams give him a chance to open it up a little bit more, because I think that he wants to give his guys the chance to make explosive plays, but also he says, guys, they're there anyways. You just got to go start making.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's equivalent in basketball. And a team pops a zone on you, and you don't have 2 or 3 zone concepts to free up a shooter, free up a one-on-one on a rotation. You're not flashing, and kids are coming over and say, "Well, they're running zone, so we can't drive." Yeah, you can.
Yeah, right.
Right. You know, so look, I like it. You know, you're not going to get to where Nebraska says they want to where they want to go without pressure. Without expectations, or better yet, a standard, and a high level of execution, no matter what they're doing. Sure, they ran zone. They essentially ran 8 deep. You know, 8 guys in coverage. So you're not gonna just be able to take the top off,
unless you're the random Tyreek Hill, you know, Hail Mary against the Cowboys, where you have 4 blockers out in front of you, and then that's a miracle.
Or like, or against the Bills or something. You know, against my Bills.
That's why I went with the Cowboys example, Jay. That's why I did that.
It can happen. But what you can do is run your routes in practice or in competitive situations and learn what he's saying is when guys are on the ground or whatever, now you need to learn how to practice Monday through Friday. I'm thinking the NFL, Monday through Friday, whenever you get a chance at game speed. Because when you get in the game, it's second nature, and you'll be able to keep your footing, and then you'll be working on, you know, breaking tackles, run after catch, all that stuff. I'm going to tell you this, and I know Coach Dana has coached and Shorts has coached receivers and played or whatever. I remember one day when I was in Buffalo, I wasn't a rookie. No, maybe in my first or second year, and Peerless Price was a draft in my draft class.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
And, you know, he had played at Tennessee and, you know, primarily, you know, made a name for himself going deep or whatever. And Charlie Joyner, who's in the Hall of Fame, was giving a seminar on run after the catch. And Charlie Joyner was not a big receiver.
No.
But Eric Moles was.
Mm-hmm.
And Andre Reed was there too. So it came from the knowledge of Andre Reed and James Lofton from before, passed down to Eric Moles, then to Peerless Price, Jeremy McDaniel, and all those guys. And he made it so simple. I watched it so I could tackle receivers better.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing when, and, you know, and it really was essentially two hard steps right there and then cut back and hit the sideline. And he literally mapped it out like an Excel worksheet. I'm dead serious.
I believe you. It's just funny to hear.
He brought it out. He brought it in. And if you know Charlie, he brought it out there. And it was like, well, if you break this many tackles per game, you get this many yards after the catch, and you do this after this, you'll easily have 1,000 yards. And that's when Peerless and Eric Molds went over 1,000 each, and they were those two together. And Peerless went off to Atlanta and got paid like a number one. Mm-hmm. And so that you just got to – this is the thing is like where they're pushing these guys. You got to constantly work on your craft. Football is a game of constant work. It's 24/7, 365. Nobody wants any excuses. You got to get better. It's like – you know, I saw like Coach LaFleur for the Packers. It's like, you don't like your situation, you know, get bigger, faster, stronger, or study harder and get better at what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You got to, because you never know when that play is the play. Mm-hmm. But the only thing you do know is if you're not prepared.
Right. And there's no helping that in the moment. You're helped ahead of time and you're ready to go, you find out real quick.
Yeah, because you're like, dang, what could I have done? And you don't want to be like, all right, now I'm going to do it.
Pain and discipline, pain and regret.
That pain and regret is like no other. It's something that you have to do constantly, depositing things for the hope that what you've been working on, you get to do it in prime time.
Without the promise of being able to do it in prime time. Nebraska did, at least for one night, improve against man in the red zone. Dane Key gets the win on 4th-and-2. Isaiah Hunter catches the fade. Jay, just how big is that for Nebraska to at least give itself a chance with guys like that in the red zone one-on-one?
I think you have Jamal Banks and Isaiah Nair on steroids with these two. Now, it's early, so let me just say...
And Nair's a little bigger than Hunter, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play bigger.
But I'm talking about what they were supposed to do. Now, I think Hunter, at least in this game, showed me something that I didn't expect because I felt like he was just moving into Nair's type of
go-ball speed route. Yeah,
and that's what you expect. The freshman, Cal. But listen, he's got the body type. He can fight for the ball. He's shown it, makes some contested catches. Mm-hmm. Awfully competitive. Mm-hmm. Dane Key the same. Right? Mm-hmm. But they're just a little, they're just, maybe a lot of it, but just, you know, just a step up from last year. Not taking anything away from them too.
No.
And, you know, and plus I think Dane and Hunter and even Barney, you get a better, you know, ideally a better version of Dylan. They got the freshman Dylan, and there's nothing wrong with it because he, you know, handled himself, you know, very well as a freshman. Mm-hmm. Now you get a guy that's in lock and step with his coordinator and they have more time to work with each other. You know, I'm sure Dylan's probably, you know, like took them and they worked, you know, went and worked out together. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Hunter, you know, showed you something. You got to think he was challenged at the beginning of camp. Mm-hmm. You got guys on your, you know, on your heels.
Yeah.
So he took that challenge to let you know he's competitive. And then he showed up big. That over the shoulder catch, there was like 19, 20 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty good catch.
That's another one Dana Holgorsen pointed out, you know, stays on his feet. Maybe you can get it. No, bust that into a full touchdown.
To a 40-yarder, whatever.
Instead of 19, which is still a nice catch, right? Adjustment, back shoulder, go get it. But it's just those little things, not being able to keep your feet. And I know you're twisting your body. I'm not asking him to be able to, but if he were able to.
Yeah, and that's you know, and that's the difference, I think, also. And I know this from, because I played in that stadium. Mm-hmm. It's a slick surface. Mm-hmm. Even back when I played there, like in college. It was slick. Gotcha. I think that just comes from, you know, I think also like it comes from the excitement of being in the game. You know, it's like almost like basketball. You get it and you get a stupid travel. Like, the time that you might see LeBron or Kobe or Jordan get a travel where they actually call it, like that ain't going to happen where you're a little too amped up, you know? And so, and plus you got to think Cincinnati, if the way that they were playing, even in man, they're closer. They're not just like
they're not pushovers. They're not scrubs.
Yeah. So they're and they have been preparing for Nebraska, as Nebraska has been preparing for them, so you're going to get their best shot.
Want to let you know about our friends down at the Lincoln Children's Museum. Football game days are fun for the whole family, but not every kid can sit through four quarters in the stadium. If that sounds like your kid, Lincoln Children's Museum has the perfect option. Game day play days for kids as ages 5 through 12. While parents enjoy the game inside the stadium, kids get their own game day experience at the Lincoln Children's Museum. It includes all sorts of fun activities geared toward the theme of football and being active. Drop-off is 90 minutes before the game. Pickup is 60 minutes after the game, even if it goes into overtime. Affordable, convenient, just steps away from Memorial Stadium. Registration required prior to game day. Reserve your spot now at LincolnChildrensMuseum.org. Jay, I think it's also worth throwing out Carter Nelson. Matt Rhule brought him up yesterday. What is Carter Nelson up to? How's he feeling? Here's this from Dana Holgorsen.
He's starting. He's just now getting his legs underneath him. I mean, he didn't do anything for 6 months. You know, and so, you know, he was on a rep count early in camp. Just over the course of 5 weeks, that rep count has gotten up to the point to where now he's not on a rep count. I think week three, we were not pleased with how he was running. And he was just dead-legged and just trying to get him underneath himself. You know, I mean, that's hard when you don't do anything for 6 months. But now he's back. I see what Carter is now. Okay, so now it's just about the opportunity. It's about logging the reps. It's about putting them in position, putting them in the game. I think he got 5 reps last week. That's not enough. He's going to get more. And I'm excited about what he can turn into.
There's that on Carter Nelson. And then also Dana Holgorsen on the running backs, right? We heard yesterday Matt Rhule gave Dana Holgorsen the freedom to make the call with the running back rotation. Is there the potential for more reps for running backs 2, 3, and maybe even 4 this week against Akron?
Have to. You know, the way that game was, it was close game, hard fought game. He was rolling, man. He played his tail off. So proud of him. Ran hard, you know, was good in pass protection, was good in the passing game, minus the one drop, which I've never seen him drop one pass in practice, let alone, you know, in a game. So, you know, player of the game in my mind, you know, so tight game. You had 2 freshmen on the sidelines. You know, we handed the ball to Isaiah twice early, and it didn't look good. He's still trying to figure things out, you know, and just with his veteran presence and the way it looked out there, he just kept going. You know, and so I don't regret that. I mean, we got to do what we got to do to win the game, you know, but yeah, that can't keep happening, you know. And so, you know, Ives got to get going. Makai's got to get going. You know, Ike will continue to improve in that area. So I don't care who we play this week. That has to change.
First of all, love calling Isaiah Mosey Ike. That's kind of funny, yeah. But it just didn't look good. He's got a way to go. So take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, Emmett Johnson was asked to shoulder the load. Dana Holgorsen said, ideally, no. But shout out Emmett Johnson, his player of the game, for stepping up and taking on the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, you saw this the 3 or 4 games, you know, last year towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You saw his touches and his production go up, and that's probably what gave them confidence to allow him to be, you know, RB1 and, you know, I mean, I have probably a little bit better background on Emmett because obviously I know him and knew of him long before he got here. He's a competitive kid. He's worked for it, and that's what you want guys to be able to step up when you need them the most. That's what leadership is. That's what a competitor is. Yes, ideally, you want the guys that you've seen do good things in practice and scrimmages and all that stuff take a hold of the backup role or backup roles. And mm-hmm. So you need them to perform in the games, and they need to go back to work this week. And, you know, probably with Mosey, he had the one, I think, when he went, you know, going to the left, you know, the thing is, like, people always ask the difference between high school and college and college and the pros, you know, like the holes close up faster. And so you got to stick your foot in the ground and get upfield. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can, you know, try to play too perfect, overthink things in that milliseconds or split second moments. And I think he'll learn from it. And I think that I think one or all of them will play better week to week. because there's going to be a time where they're going to have to step up like Emmitt has had to step up at times last year. And, you know, you got to get in where you fit in.
We'll finish off this segment with this from 5162 on the text line. Speaking of explosive plays, I thought Emmitt would have developed into a home run hitter, but instead he looked like a bruiser and didn't go down on first contact. Jay, do you think that's going to be more valuable for Nebraska than explosive runs?
Well, I think explosive runs, one, is obviously comes from the line, and then situation, which is what I mean by that is the coverage and the opportunity. Obviously, if you're in man-to-man defense and guys are getting ran off, and then you get good outside blocking, it's easier to hit it versus zone, and everybody has eyes. Part of zone is keeping everything in front of you, including the run. You know, the knock on Emmitt was, can he be physical enough to run behind his pads? Well, he showed he can run behind his pads. There's probably some cuts and runs that he probably thinks that he'd like back that would have been more explosive. I think sometimes, you know, I know for a fact, whether it's fans or people that talk about football, yes, you want home run hitters. Listen, the TCU game against North Carolina last night is an outlier. Home run runs come from two things: poor tackling / bad technique
/ missed assignment.
Yeah, and now the next one is missed assignment / you're pretty much out leveraged before the ball's even snapped.
You're playing 9-on-7,
meaning they have four blockers over there, you have three defenders.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason it doesn't become an explosive run is because the running back didn't earn his money. So
Jay Foreman cut through the block, made a tackle, and still got yelled at on the sideline. But
that too. But still, so that's, you know, everybody just thinks you got to get out of this like fourth grade Pee Wee League type of mentality, get the ball, and Johnny runs around the side, and he's just fast. That's not happening. These guys are too.
It's all just, of them are good enough at
it. Yeah, it doesn't happen like that. Mm-hmm. So you got to go, and things got to set that up too. You know, like previous runs, situation. We've seen Florida State, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was, you know, the big run on the reverse, which is an explosive run, was set up two quarters prior, but consistently running the same formation, same type of action, and then you hit the big one.
Florida State did. Can Nebraska remains to be seen. We'll hear from John Butler here about his assessment of Nebraska's performance against Cincinnati. Tad on our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line. We see your question. We will get to that as a part of next segment. Come back with us on Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back to it. It is Old School with Foreman and Orman with you for another 26 minutes before the teammates timeout with Demo and Ash. The segment of the show brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows, based out of Hallam, Nebraska. They offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. They're locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Give Heartland of Nebraska Windows a call today for more information at 402-430-3852. Or visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Jay, defensive line. We'll get to Tad's question here in just a sec. Let's hear from John Butler, his assessment, first and foremost, of the defensive line as a whole. What does he expect from that unit moving forward? Here is Nebraska defensive coordinator John Butler.
I think you guys heard me say it last week when I said the defensive line, like, it's not a thinking man's position. It's a get off the ball, create a new line of scrimmage, get off blocks, make tackles, be disruptive. I think sometimes at times we were a little bit too fit oriented, meaning like, am I in the right place? Or maybe the processing wasn't going as fast, but you know, your D-line has got to be a bunch of guys that just freaking go and think about things later. And I don't mean play reckless. I'm just talking about getting off the ball, creating a new line of scrimmage, you know, and I think that's something we're going to be preaching with all of our front guys from now until the final game of the season.
That goes to Tad's question. Jay, your take on the defensive line and their performance. What can they do to make a jump and match the rest of the defense?
Oh, I just think like what in those situations, you know, I think you do like what happens is, you know, it's all self-inflicted, right? it probably has to, play with better leverage, hands, get off is huge. Not overthinking it is probably even the biggest thing. I always talk about Jason Peter. I mean, he was, hey, people just don't really, I know Ndamukong Suh is the dude. I'm just telling you, I've seen this man do stuff to some guys that are in the Hall of Fame that just, it was just get out of the way. You know what I'm saying? And so I think you just got to stop. Don't try to be so perfect, because when you have hesitation, you end up not playing to your abilities anyway. So go out there and just play. Go out there and wreck havoc. And it starts with the get off. Because if you get off the ball violent with good leverage, heavy, violent hands, get extension, it doesn't really matter what gap you have, because you've
made your own gap.
You're either put the lineman in the gap that you're supposed to be at, then the running back's going to run to you. It's essentially, you could just make it easier. Now, I'm sure if they can, pin down and all this other stuff, but I think Cincinnati is rather simple. I said this, I've been a victim of it. I've done it, so I can speak on it. So it's not even talking about them. I know what it's like when you play in your first game. I know what it was like when I played against Oklahoma State on a Thursday down there at Stillwater.
Did you hear Mike Gundy talking about playing Nebraska on a Thursday?
No. What'd he say? Oh, yeah. When we had the shirts up. We saw
their defensive linemen
Shirts. We was up there with the half shirts. Yeah, you know what time it is. We had the six pack going. But sometimes you do a little peekaboo. You play a little too high. And then you go back to work and you realize, okay, I had missed 15 opportunities in the game. I could have had 7 tackles. I only had 4. Those 3 tackles you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it really comes back to just playing the way that they're capable of. And it starts with the fundamentals. And the biggest fundamental in the defense, one of the biggest, is getting off the ball. I mean, I'm talking about, like, there's a guy named Keith Millard who played when I was a ball boy for the Vikings. Defense tackle, 3 technique. I think he might have led the league in sacks, and the Vikings had a really good. They used to high booty, they love to get their shoes spat. So you'd be in a track stance. So they were just surging off the ball. You think about the Colts with Dwight Freeney and Matthew. They were just
undersized ish,
but getting reestablishing. So Dwight Freeney, who was about 260, but Mathis was about 230. Maybe 40. Mm-hmm.
More outside linebacker than end.
But he played in.
Yeah.
How was he able to do it? Getting off the ball and literally just resetting the line of scrimmage. That's probably what Coach Butler's talking about.
You mentioned Ndamukong Suh. I didn't realize he had, for a couple of years, this was from Spotrac just today. For 2 years, he was the highest paid non-quarterback in football in terms of average value per year.
Yeah, well, when he came in the league, he was.
Well, actually, this just goes back a decade. So maybe it was true in Detroit, but when he got to Miami, 2016 and 17, he was making $19 million a year, which was the most of any non-quarterback in football.
Yeah, he was getting pizzed.
Mm-hmm.
House of Spears was house of stuff.
So let's maybe not compare Nebraska's defensive line to him quite.
No, what I'm saying, I was talking about Jason Peter and people. Ndamukong is Ndamukong.
Yeah.
But homeboy can get down. Because Jason's 6'5". Same with Ndamukong.
Mm-hmm.
Them dudes were playing low. I'm talking about forklifting dudes and throwing them out of the club. Benji Olsen, Olin Krutz.
Dudes.
Yeah. Chris Neoli, just giving them all. Matt Leps is getting them all. It was the can man. Anybody could get it.
Let's hear from John Butler on Riley Van Poppel. Not a starter. Not a black shirt, but a single digit. What does Riley Van Poppel have to do to take the next step? Here's Nebraska defensive coordinator John Butler.
I think it just comes down to 3 things. It comes down to, is he playing as hard as he thinks he can? And then we got to make sure if that's how hard you think you can play, we're going to get you to play harder. Physicality at the line of scrimmage, getting off blocks. I think, with all of these guys, we're not singling out anybody. You just happen to ask about one of them. That's, to me, where our biggest step in week to week has got to be, from week 1 to week 2, is our ability to get off the ball and get off blocks, because that's what really the run game is all about. Whatever call that's made, it's getting your hands on the blocker, getting off the blocker, getting to the ball carrier. So that's I think something we're going to be emphasizing with our front seven, really the front six.
Don't want to read too much into it. It's one game. You got what you think is a lot of players that you like. Riley Van Poppel just ended up not being starter. But Jay, I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's just coincidence that the first part was the first part.
Yeah, I
like is
that.
He playing hard as he thinks he's playing?
Yeah.
That never sounds good.
Hey, yo. Hey, man. I wouldn't. You question. I can't speak for him, right? But if I'm talking to him, I could just tell you about my own experience. I just remember when I was inactive for a game. I think I fought every single period for a week. I hated everything and everybody, and I was and I was taking it out on in practice.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who I was really mad at? Me. Because as much as it stung and I was mad at the decision, now there was other factors, and it was an NFL where we had a rash offensive line injuries. Mm-hmm. I told myself I'll never be in that position again. Never.
And you weren't.
Nope.
And that's where, again, I don't want to read too much into it, but I do think there's something there to keep in mind. Because especially think about this, too. Riley Van Poppel coming off the redshirt last year and then still being voted a single digit. Clearly, the team looks up to him. So my hope is that
they're trying
Riley
to motivate.
Van Poppel is trying to be, you know, is kind of getting called. I mean, he was asked about, right? John Butler didn't bring him up and say Riley Van Poppel needs to play harder. Nice. And that would have been one thing. He was asked about Riley Van Poppel, but that was the first part that came up. So either Riley Van Poppel's got to pick it up to live up to the potential that the fans and his coaches think he has, or it is that motivational tactic. Riley, we know you're playing hard, but you can play harder. You are the tone setter for this room. Pick it up because we believe in you.
It's the second part, and it's a positive thing, but you got to get over the negative instant reaction.
Connotation.
Yeah. He's poking you. Listen. I'm going to tell you this story about Mike Minner. I like Mike. Now, we're cool now, but I'm telling you.
We're cool now. I know where this is going.
We're adults now. But he challenged me, and the worst thing you can do is poke somebody in the chest, at least for me, right?
In the moment, it's the worst thing. Might be the best thing in the
world. Well, because I was getting ready for the Oklahoma State game. My brother was nervous, and I was a little scared. And I was a little apprehensive, like, am I really ready for this? Practice is one thing, game's another. So we were on a Thursday. We had this, like, little mesh shirts on or whatever. We couldn't afford spiders. You know, we wouldn't have no NIL. You know, I wasn't that, like, big like I am now or whatever. And he was like, look at you, man. He's like, this, and this. He's like, are you tough enough to play with us? Like,
not are you ready. Are you tough enough?
Yeah. Right. Now this is 2 days before the game. Now, like, so we, right? But then other people around, you know, my dad was like, look, just let your pads do the talking. Don't say nothing. I mean, I'm a freshman. As fast as I could drop that helmet, I was like, let's go. Right now. Me and you. I said, let's see. So he was just seeing. He was challenging me.
Taking your temperature?
He was checking. Listen, and the temperature was at 100.
Hot.
Yeah. That's what he's doing. He's like, in a good way, if he takes it the right way, he's telling you, we need you to play at the level that you might not think you can play at. Not game six. Right now.
Tomorrow in practice. Today's done. You can't get it back.
And he's also telling him, there's an opportunity for you right now to take over the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
So the initial reaction, because I know how I would have been. I know when Reggie did it to me. Heck, I tried to fight the man in front of 80,000 people in Houston. And I had messed up. But the thing is, but then when he asked me and I was hiding a knee injury, and he asked me about it, and he was put in, and I had a real bad knee issue going on, and my neck was killing me. Mm. And he was like, man, on the phone. He was like, or in the press, he's like, you look soft. And I could tell you, I cussed him out to anybody that would pick up the phone and rush hour traffic in Houston for an hour. And but then after that, we had the bye week. I got healthy or healthier and kind of got, you know, come to Jesus with myself. Rest is history. This is a pivotal moment for him. 6'5", 290-something pounds. Yeah, get some ephedrine. It's whatever you need. Get you up your gas or whatever it is, some 5-hour energy, Red Bull, or a combination of all of them. I'll be seeing red.
Nebraska Akron, 6:30. We'll keep talking about it throughout the week. We'll go to break.
Is the game at 6:30?
6:30, late game.
I thought it was 8.
6:30 game. No, high school games today.
Yeah, I'm tripping.
High school games today, Nebraska and Akron at 6:30. We'll be back, wrap up old school momentarily.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're wrapping up old school with Foreman and Orman. I am the Orman. He is the Foreman. This segment brought to you by Love Volleyball Nebraska. Get your tickets today to see national champions, Olympic champions, and, of course, former Huskers all take the court for Love Volleyball Nebraska, LOVB.com. Jay, Bill Belichick got quite the welcome to college football last night.
Yeah, man, that was tough to, I guess, see.
You seem heartbroken.
I was surprised. I mean, I'm sure the talent level isn't what he wanted, obviously. But they did make a bowl game last year.
Mm-hmm.
With Mack Brown.
Yeah.
They did have a first-round pick. They did. At running back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they had other guys drafted. It wasn't – you did not just take over.
You did bring in, like, 70-some transfers.
Yeah.
But still.
That was a choice.
It was.
They just defensively – oh, first of all, if you miss that bad on the quarterback, that's the result. Now, I think it's a big step up for that young man, I think.
From South Alabama.
I think he'll get better, right? I think they need to find ways to create more separation with their receivers. I think it felt like they ran the ball well. It was too much of the Patriots, tight formations, no motion. So they got to open up the playbook. But defensively, that was bad. They need more talent.
But good at TCU offense. Not that good.
Yeah, but also TCU went back to the lab and did what Dabo did. So we're gonna get more physical, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And it showed, right? But defensively, schematic wise, they were out leveraged every single time they had good runs. And when they did stop them, somebody made a phenomenal play. So that's more on the scheme and on the adjustments, which you expected to be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you go into halftime down 20-7, mm-hmm. right?
And then Kirk Herbstreit comes out of the break saying this is going to be a big drive for the North Carolina defense.
And before you can even take a sip out of your Coke or whatever, your ginger ale,
house call. Up a band.
Hey, hey, man. did old boy, his body type, he was fast, though.
He was moving.
But just looking the way he ran, did you expect him to pick him up a play?
No. I thought I got Marshawn Lynch vibes.
But no, but he had the second gear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had perfect running for him. And then it was open the floodgates, boy. That's a hard film session to be in from a coaching standpoint, a position group standpoint, a position coach standpoint. They need to go back and look at the scheme and where guys were. And the lack of adjustments because they were out leveraged a lot, let alone they need more talent.
Who is the most fixable? Arch Manning, Alabama, or North Carolina?
I think Arch Manning. He was the closest. You just got to take that. You just got to take that. This is my man Dave from Renew.
Hey, Dave.
He's circling the block on me. He wanted to stay. I just like that I ain't in last.
Nobody
place
circles the wagons. Yeah. Like but David won the stake.
Arch is probably the closest. Alabama is second. But they're asterisked by them as if they want to.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It's the Alabama want to versus the Carolina scheme with less talent.
I think Carolina will get a fix. I can guarantee you they're going to fix the problem. And I think the moment was really big for a lot of those kids. You know, Jordan's in the house, LT's in the house, Roy Williams is there. I'm sure they've been around.
Mia Hamm is there.
Yeah, they've been around practice forever. Mm-hmm. It was a big step up for a lot of those guys.
And they kind of biffed it. Really biffed
TCU back. Turned the gas off.
Most rushing yards in a game for TCU since the 2022 Michigan playoff game. Think about
that's
that.
That's including you had LaDainian at one point.
Well, I'm just saying since. They might have rushed for more with LaDainian. Oh, yeah, but at least.
Still,
that's both a Michigan stat and a North Carolina stat.
That was everybody was getting there.
Mm-hmm. Whiteboard Wednesday tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to get something. We're going to get something going on.
Excellent.
We can't find them with Akron.
Then we'll watch some Nebraska Cincinnati. Yeah, we'll do Nebraska.
You know what? Might even do a little North Carolina.
Hey, how about that? Coming up tomorrow during Old School, big thanks again to the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. We will be back with you tomorrow, 3-6. But for now, teammates, time out with Demo and Ashes next on The Ticket.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.